What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? Welcome back. Or welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, the Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Thursday in the 3 o'clock hour, so I'm joined by a very special guest host, two-time 5th District Congressional candidate Tom Paulsiewicz. And Tom and I are very privileged and excited to be joined by Joe Fox, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, to talk about the youth vote and what we're doing to turn out folks on college campuses this November. Welcome, Joe. It's a real privilege to have you.
Thank you both for having me.
So tell us, how crucial do you and Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin think the younger vote is to this election outcome?
Oh gosh, extremely important, especially in Wisconsin. I don't have the exact numbers on me, but I believe there's around 300,000 eligible voters within the college age demographics within the state of Wisconsin. That narrow number can potentially decide this election, not just our federal elections, but also our local and statewide elections. So the stakes could not be higher, and the youth vote is more important than ever this cycle.
Yeah, and that's a good point that there just are so many, and it doesn't take that many to tip this election the way we need it to. Joe, a different question for you, though, is how are you making sure that especially students know where to vote based on where they go to school or, based on where they live? Because there's a lot of misinformation being fed to students, and I think just to try to keep them from voting. But how do you cut through that, and how do you help them understand where to vote?
Yeah, the key way that we handle that here at Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin is we give power directly to the students. We run this program called Planned Parenthood Generation Action. These are registered student organizations on different college campuses across the state of Wisconsin. Currently, we have chapters at Alverno College. We're starting one up in Carthage, at UW-Parkside, UW-Milwaukee, and UW-Madison, and we're looking to expand it throughout the state even further. And basically, we pay college organizers to go onto their campus, talk with their peers about election issues, especially reproductive rights for this election cycle, and then we give them the tools and the resources to facilitate these conversations in meaningful ways. We're not looking for these students to basically read off basic campaign slogans that we got from our Democratic nominees that we know are going to support reproductive access. We're looking for them to have real, thoughtful, and intentional conversations about what does reproductive access look like? What does reproductive justice look like? And how can we kind of turn these visions into a reality wherever their communities may be?
Mm-hmm. Joe, so important. Just this week, we heard that an unknown of unknown origins, a text was sent to potentially hundreds of students across UW campuses. Here's what the text said. And by the way, this is the public service announcement. What this text said is false. It is misleading. It is untrue. It is a lie. But here's what the text, coming from a 262 number to hundreds of people in their early 20s on University of Wisconsin campus and elsewhere, said, quote, warning, violating Wisconsin statutes, blah, 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 may result in fines of up to $10,000 or 3.5 years in prison. Don't vote in a state where you're not eligible, end quote. These statutes do not apply to students who moved from out of state to Wisconsin to attend school. You are still entitled to vote in Wisconsin legally. Nobody's going to prison for 3.5 years for this. Obviously, getting people the right information is key, Joe. What did your organization have any response, or did you get any questions from students related to these false and misleading and fraudulent text messages that were sent out this week?
Well, we haven't really received any questions from our students and our supporters on these college campuses. We do remain like very firm in the stance that we take on voting eligibility in these college groups. And it's a really great way for us to basically like block this misinformation from happening in the first place. Our students are holding tabling sessions, know your rights sessions, what's on your ballot sessions at their campus. And they're basically saying to students, especially out of state students, that if you are residing on your campus, whether that be within like university housing or in the surrounding neighborhoods because you're leasing an apartment, that makes you a valid resident of the state of Wisconsin. And that means that you are eligible to vote within whatever district that you're in. And we will continue to basically like inundate these students with that information so that they know very, very clearly what their rights are and they aren't going to be targets of this very, very deceitful information that's, or misinformation that's being presented to them.
Yeah.
Excellent.
In fact, this sort of text message and this kind of misinformation is itself a crime that yes. is punishable by some pretty significant penalties. Folks, if you're wondering about some of the logistical operations of voting, whether it's voting early, voting absentee, drop boxes, mail-in, what sort of identification you can use, what sort of proof of residency you have to provide. I am literally going to go through this stuff point by point on Tuesday, this coming
Excellent.
Tuesday. So mark your calendars. I'm going to do it for about an hour. I want to spend a goodly amount of time going through this. You're going to want to get out, again, your sharpened pencils, take a few notes, post about it, share it. We're going to go through all those mechanics. Tom, did you have a question for Joe?
I do. And this one, you know, because right now, at least all the polling is showing there's a huge gender gap between young men and young women about how they're thinking about voting. So how are you in Planned Parenthood trying to cut through that and talk to young men about reproductive rights to help them understand what that impact is and what their role in that is?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll be real with you. A majority of the patients that we see at our clinics are women or people who don't identify as men. So it is honestly a challenge for us to be able to have these conversations, which is why we do targeted programming work. I have a lovely colleague, her name is Tara Brewster, and she holds a completely nonpartisan event every single year called Men's Wellness Day. And these are real conversations that we're holding with men in the community and talking to them about like, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to promote like positive masculinity? And then we're also connecting them with local leaders in the community. We're inviting Derek Mosley to our upcoming mm-hmm. session. He is a judge within the yes. city of Milwaukee. He's a really amazing person, and he's very, very deeply passionate about the community of Milwaukee and this type of work. More broadly, though, especially for younger people, I'm a queer identifying person myself. And a lot of times what's not reflected is a lot of the gay men who come to our clinics and utilize our services, who are also very, very much in need of accurate information about like what issues are at stake for them for this upcoming mm-hmm. election cycle. So my responsibility especially is to like find ways to connect with them in the community. For example, we just hosted a huge Get Out the Vote event at This Is It Bar, which is off mm-hmm. Well Street in Milwaukee. It's the oldest yep. gay bar.
Oldest gay bar in Wisconsin.
It's an amazing place. And one, we wanted to connect young folks with this amazing, vibrant community space that they can go to and give love to. And then we were registering folks to vote because the online voter registration deadline was yesterday, October 16th. We had over 200 attendees nice. At that event. We were able to interview them, ask them questions about why is voting important to them? Why do they think repro rights are important? All of that good stuff. And we were getting responses from women, yes, but from men especially, who were saying, women deserve to have the right to choose. Women deserve to have their full bodily autonomy. And they understand that a woman's right is inextricably connected with their own rights, especially gay men. Their rights are inextricably connected to women's rights to choose what is best for them and their bodies.
That's great. Well, thanks for that work.
No kidding. And that's really the meta point. When I've talked to men that are already engaged with reproductive freedom and these issues, what I hear most frequently, be they cisgendered, hetero, queer identifying, they are identifying with the fact that every single person's civil rights and our baseline freedoms can only be measured in this country by the measuring stick of how do we protect, preserve, and defend the civil rights of every single one of us. And that's the derogation of a woman's right to bodily autonomy and reproductive freedom challenges the baseline civil rights of every American citizen, no matter how you identify. So that to me, and frankly, do you love any women? Do you know any women out there that you love and care about? Because if so, this is about you too in that very way as well. Joe, a question for you. When you look at this next election cycle, how important do you think reproductive freedom rates for younger voters, both men and women?
Well, pretty strongly. It's within, I believe, through the Associated Press, I believe they said that it's around one of the top issues. 2 in 5 respondents reported that that's one of the main 3 issues that's on the line for them for this election cycle. So abortion, I mean, it's always been a hot topic within our politics, but now, more than ever, it is the most important that it could ever be. We have the potential to flip our state assembly and shortly our state senate so that we can finally get legislation on, like, passed into laws within the state of Wisconsin that can enshrine these protections. It shouldn't just be Planned Parenthood goes and files a petition to the state Supreme Court of Wisconsin and says this should be a constitutionally protected right. It should be laws that are in place that are making an abortion abundance, dare I say, the ability for people to go to the clinic and know that they can get an abortion appointment lined up for them within the hour, because sometimes, like, they're not going to be able to have 24 hours available to them, as abortion clinics are so few and far in between in the state of Wisconsin. It also looks like we need to make sure that we have responsible programs in place that can make sure that people are able to take care of children, that the option to become a parent is widely accessible to them. So when we talk about abortion access, that's just one step of the way. People are also thinking about, how is it going to be easy for me to be a parent in my community? So when I talk about the abortion conversation, I'm also bringing in other aspects of reproductive justice, such as how are we making sure our communities are taken care of? Because those issues are all interconnected with each other, and they should always be talked about in tandem.
Joe, I'm giving you a virtual hug across the interwebs right now, because what you said in your last response is the actual heart, both literally and figuratively, of the matter. And that is, reproductive freedom also requires a society that is organized to support the choice to have the child, that understands that we must make investments in prenatal care, in postnatal care, that we don't need to be dumping women off of Badger Care right after they've given birth. That is an abomination. That we need affordable childcare. And all of that is part of what reproductive freedom means. Can we imagine a world where a woman doesn't need to worry about having healthcare after she gives birth, that doesn't have to fear whether her baby will be hungry or will get pediatric care? That starts to be a world where maybe women are not so afraid to have the child, where we have created communities that lift us all up and ensure these basic building blocks of human dignity for all. So again, a huge virtual hug to you, Joe Fox, from me. Tom, last question. We got under a minute left.
I'll just make one quick statement, and Joe, you can chime in on this, but I know a lot of young people who are putting off having a family because of just the environment that we're in today. And they're just looking around going, people do not value my body, my reproductive rights. So why would I bring another human being into this environment where I don't know what's going to happen to them?
Thanks so much.
You said it perfectly.
Thanks so much. That is Joe Fox of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. We're going to come back with my co-host this hour, Tom Paulswitz, to finish it out. Keep it locked here on the Civic Media Radio Network.